Maybe I gotta find a COVID girlfriend.
Yeah, there you go. You gotta get a COVID girlfriend, man. What's wrong with you? Get on top of that.
What am I doing? Oh, man, I'm getting off this podcast right now.
Go out and meeting people.
It's in the middle of the night, but I'm gonna go find a COVID girlfriend.
Hey there. Welcome to the Gluten-Free Organic Thoughts Podcast, where you are encouraged to express your natural thoughts and views through casual, meaningful conversations that hopefully can lead to learning and understanding new perspectives. To find out more info, visit www.gfothoughts.com. Now, here are your hosts, Michael Wong and Robert Din. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome back, everyone, to Gluten-Free Organic Thoughts Podcast. I'm Robert Din. This is Mike Wong. It's just us boys today. We're going to be reflecting on 2020 and our podcast and everything that's happened throughout the year. It's also Christmas episode. Merry Christmas to everybody.
Oh, happy holidays. Kwanzaa.
Happy holidays. Yeah, I guess that's true. We got to be more open and inclusive, Mike.
Well, for those who cannot see or not watching us on YouTube, we are wearing some, you know, holiday clothing. Robert has his holiday Christmas shirt. You know,
yeah, we both have. Says, what does it say? It says home for the holidays with there the A-Z-E at the end.
We both have our Santa on. So there we go. But yeah, like Robert mentioned, this is a reflection episode. We'll go over what happened in 2020, to be honest. You know, we'll go and we kind of try to reflect, hopefully, you know, take this moving on to 2021 to improving ourselves, bettering ourselves, get some amazing guests on, you know, keep pushing, you know, the envelope. So Robert, you want to kick it off with your drinks first though?
Yeah, what are we drinking? As usual, like I got my rosé. So this is pretty reflective of the entire series that we've had so far.
Yeah, as usual, I got my ginger honey tea.
We don't seem to be very we don't really change it up very often.
We're consistent. Okay, that's what matters.
Okay, maybe consistency is good. I guess that's good.
Hey, some things are, you know, it's good to have a routine for. Some things are just meant to change. If it changes, it's great. We just adapt, right?
I guess that's true, man. Yeah. So let's get into it. Like, what, like 2020, man, like this was a crazy year.
I agree.
Crazy year.
So I remember our first episode that aired July 5th, man. I remember that first episode we aired that.
Day after July 4th, right?
Yeah. and we talked about what the Gator Bay topic is. What it was our first episode.
That was it. And I remember it being so awkward, just talking.
I cringe watching it back, to be honest.
You watched it back? I have not watched it back because I just don't want to see it anymore.
Hey, it's there forever. It's
there. Internet. It's on the internet until we delete it. And then it'll always be archived. It's only in the cache somewhere. Someone's got to find it.
No, but to be honest, I feel like the level of comfort talking to people, I think talking to folks, just whoever's listening in, I think definitely improved. I love watching the before and after.
Yeah, it's definitely a big change. I remember, and even just watching like the intro video that we have for our podcast, like on YouTube, like the hey, this is what we're doing. Like that was so stiff compared to like what we do now. It's like we're much more comfortable in front of the mic. Yeah. It's easier to like come up with questions and talk to people. I feel like when I started, I was like, I don't know what I'm even going to say. Like, what are we going to even talk about?
Hey, listen, we got a website. We evolved our logo. You know, we've grown up, okay?
That's true. That's true. We did very good with branding. Mike, I think, Mike, that was mostly you. Like, the branding side, like, I think you did a great job on that stuff. And then we got through that website. I feel like I learned so much going through that website experience.
You don't realize how much it goes into it, right?
I had no idea how hard it is to make a website the way that you want it to be.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy.
I do think, though, we got lucky, to be honest. I think your friend did such a phenomenal job making it easy for us. Trust me, yeah. I've worked with designers, web designer before, UX designer before. I think she made it super easy for us.
Yeah, so. She basically like made the whole thing. And it was like, oh, this is how you do everything. She made tutorials for us, for us noobs, to how to update the website. Like,
it's, hey, We need to bring her on though, because I think she has some amazing skill sets, you know, to show off though. So to some folks.
That's true. Yeah, I think we definitely should have her on. It's, man, but yeah, what an experience.
So I mean, 2020 though. Crazy current events. I mean, I remember back in March, man. I had to bring my parents back from China, man, from Hong Kong because they were there.
Wait, your first thing in 2020 is coronavirus? Like that's the first thing you remember? No, I think it was Kobe dying. It was like first thing.
That's right. That's true.
I think that was in like, was it February or something? It was early in the year.
Early. I think it was early February, I think. The helicopter situation was sad. I actually remember where I was when I heard that.
Yeah.
I was at the beach. I was just running, actually, when I heard about that in the morning. I was like, holy crap.
I remember my sister texted me and was like, hey, Kobe died. And I thought she was joking. I was like, no, there's no way.
No, it was Sunday. I just remember it was Sunday. And I think it was actually early. I think it was end of January. I don't think it was February. Because I remember it was a Sunday morning when I found that out.
Yeah. Oh, man. That was like, it just hurts. It just hurts. I never met the guy, but he's like, he touched our lives even without like knowing us, right? Or it's like talking to us. It's nuts how someone like that can affect you.
Well, I think because you realize, you know, he's been around so long, right? He came out of the NBA, out of high school to the NBA at the age of 18.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just been around with us for the longest period of time, over 20 years, man. Yeah. Like, I mean, at the age of 41, I mean,
all like looked up to him like as a role model, right? Like we all were like, oh, this guy, all he does is push, and everything he does well, right? And so like you're striving to be like him in a lot of ways.
So one of the things I did admire about Kobe, I mean, I still do admire about Kobe, is that I don't think it's about how much he pushed. I think how he enjoys the process. Because if you enjoy the process, whatever result's going to be, it's going to be right. But if you enjoyed that moment, that process, and I think that was the biggest lesson I think, you know, living out in LA, was that I had to learn to be in the presence, right? And actually enjoy the process. So, you know, I think this goes whatever you do in terms of whether it's work or there's working out or whether, you know, or you're with someone you love. I think like being the moment in the present makes a big deal because you're actually enjoying part of the journey.
Mm. I can see that. He was also so talented in like everything. Like he was able to get through a lot of the stuff. Like if I wanted to go write a book, right? Yeah. Like there's a lot of parts about writing a book that I couldn't bring myself to go through it. And like, he just puts his mind down, puts his mind to doing it, and then pushes through and gets to the end.
But the thing is that though, he doesn't give up though. He's pushing. I mean, listen, we don't watch a lot of the behind the scenes things though. We don't.
Right.
Like for example, how many languages he knows? What was it? How many? Four? I forgot.
At least four.
Yeah, and he even trashed. I remember watching. He trashed Talk Luka on one of the games. He learned it in his language. You know, like who does that? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So like I remember he trashed Talk. What's his name in Spanish too? Like,
He knew a ton of languages. Like he was really smart. Really able to just. I think what I admired about him was when he put his mind to something, he put 100% into it.
He stayed focused. And I think a lot of athletes has that focus to a certain degree. But he's like, I'll do whatever it takes to be slightly better than you.
I know, yeah. There's a video of, what's his name, Jay Williams, where he's like, oh yeah, I was going to play against the Lakers one day, so I decided to go into the gym early. I was in there like 2 hours early and to shoot around, and I saw Kobe in there already. He was already like at the end of his workout. So then he went in, worked out for 2 hours, and by the end of his workout, where he was dead tired, he saw Kobe still at the other end.
Yeah.
He goes up to him. He's like, they play the game, and Kobe just killed them at the end of that game. And after the game, he's like, he asked Kobe, he's like, why were you in the gym for so long? He's like, because I saw you, and I wanted you to know that you will never outwork me.
Outwork me, yeah.
I was like, oh man, what a
that's
what a
just
why.
Fear competition though. That's a little bit of mentality that I think he probably learned from Michael Jordan. To be honest, you think about that, Michael Jordan was like that same way. And it's very rare to be, okay, you could do it one time, two times, but he's just consistent.
Consistency, yeah.
You know, I feel like that just takes discipline. I think hard work could be there, but it's just discipline. I feel like without the discipline, though, it's I don't know. It's just like, I feel like that applies in every life too. Yeah. You know what I mean? So
that's true. Yeah. But yeah. Then after Kobe's death, I think Corona was like the next big thing that happened, right?
Hey, for me, it was the California fires. I don't know what you're talking about, buddy.
Yeah, I guess that's
that was
true.
Pretty big. That was pretty big. You were up there too. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's true.
You remember the orange day that you had?
No, that was already during COVID, right?
Oh, like, okay.
So the day with the orange sky, that
Armageddon
was
day.
Armageddon day. That was already like we were already working from home. That was
scary though, right?
It was so scary. I thought it was the end of the world. It was so scary. I can't believe it. I was like looking outside. I was like, "Oh my god! I need to call people to see if they're alive, see if Jesus had come back from Jesus had come back and not taken me with him." Like that's what I thought.
No, it was definitely one of the craziest time between February and March. You're right. I think Corona did happen in March when it was shut down. Everything shut down. Mm. And what happened in February? Though I'm trying to remember. I know we had an earthquake in California, but it was very minor. It wasn't that big. By the way, I think that was my third earthquake experience in the past 3 years. So yay!
Every year, just another just slightly, earthquake. You know? But now you're back in Orlando, right? So yeah, more earthquakes. You gotta look for hurricanes now.
Yeah. Oh no, the mass shooting in Milwaukee. Remember that? February.
Mm, wow.
Yeah, and the killer bees. Remember that?
Man, I don't even believe the killer bees, man. Like they're here, but like, who have they killed? They've killed nobody. They're just called killer bees.
I don't know, man. You know, yeah, but it's definitely. I remember the Boy Scout. The Boy Scout got filed bankruptcy that year too. That month in February,
they got what?
They filed bankruptcy. Boy Scout.
The Boy Scouts filed bankruptcy
in February. Yeah,
because of coronavirus or because
no. This was before coronavirus.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
So they were already
on the way out.
On the way down.
Yeah.
I don't. I never joined the Boy Scouts. I think.
Me neither, but I'm friends? Just surprised. I thought it wasn't. Are they a nonprofit? How did they file bankruptcy?
I think you can file bankruptcy and be a nonprofit. I think so. I think you can file bankruptcy as long as you're an organization and you owe people money. I think you can file bankruptcy.
That's true.
Yeah, it's just is it mismanagement of funds or is it more like nobody's being a Boy Scout anymore? Like it's not, no one's doing it. I think of our friend group, I think only Sean was a Boy Scout.
Really?
I don't think I know anyone else.
I'm trying to figure right now in our friends group. I'm trying to think. You're right.
I don't know anybody who like joined the Boy Scout.
Yeah. That's crazy. It's definitely being one of those great. I remember in April, there's all the a lot of those conspiracy theories started coming out since we've been locked down for 1 month.
Yeah. Oh man. Can you like? Well, I can't even remember.
Actually, before that, remember the market crash in March?
Market crash in March. Yeah, that was huge. We were expecting a market crash for a long time, for at least 6 months. I was looking at the market was gonna crash, like, because it's just so high, and then it flash crashed for 1 day, 2 days.
Yeah, flat. Was it over what 13% drop something like that?
Yeah, and then I was like, this is the end. Like we got it. Like this is the time.
Was this before the stimulus or after the stimulus? I'm forgetting.
Before. It was before. Okay. Because
that's right, because we were playing. I remember I was playing with the market going back up because of the stimulus. I was like, they're pumping it up.
Yeah. No, I just thought like, oh, we were already expecting it to go down. It crashed. It's gonna go way more down. That's what I thought. I thought it was just gonna be like 2008. That's what I thought. Plus, we were just starting coronavirus. So I was like, oh, everything's shutting down, you know, like,
yeah.
No money movement around in the world. So in the U.S., so like there, it has.
So U.S. was the last country to shut down, I believe, right? Wasn't it? Wasn't U.S. the last country to shut down?
To shut down? We didn't. I don't even think Did we ever shut down? I don't think we ever shut down.
Well, quote unquote, everybody, you know what I mean? Work from home type of deal. That's called a shutdown. You know what I'm talking about. But
quarantine stuff. I think, I think San Francisco was one of the first.
Yes.
And then it got more and more. But like it was still like March when that happened. So there's other countries that were doing it way earlier than this.
So Hong Kong announced their shutdown in February, and they got paid $1,200 cash for every resident to get quarantined, to stay home right away. And by the way, their stimulus went really fast. Not like ours. It took a month and a half. Yeah. How long did it take the average citizen to get their, as soon as, hey, I remember March 23rd, the stimulus got approved because I remember watching the headline. Mm-hmm. But how long did a citizen take to get their first check? 6 months later? 4 months later? I forgot how long it did take.
It took a while. I remember who was it that told us that she got her check? It was
Karen?
No. It was Brittany.
Brittany
said she got her check way later. Like, yeah. She got laid off and then got her check like 3 months after being laid off.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
Like crazy, right? Like, oh my God. I don't know. Like, honestly, I don't know how difficult it is to do it, but in my head, it seems like very simple.
Well, here's the issue with this. Okay, I do have a complaint about this a lot. Think about this. So one of the things is that they tasked the IRS to do that, okay? And the IRS was not designed and equipped with the manpower to do that at all. Think about it, right? They were downsized.
The wrong group of people that they...
They were downsized since Trump got in there. Remember that.
Why wasn't the Treasury doing this? Isn't that their job?
I think the Treasury is the part of the disbursement piece. I don't think it was their job. I think because they had to look up at the taxes who filed the last 2 years based on income.
I see.
It was easier probably, to be honest, from a data standpoint.
But no, like they're the government, right? They should be able to like query their table of people who like what this is how much these people made.
I really want to see the computer systems.
Like I feel like their infrastructure has to be horrible, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm in my mind. I'm thinking about this.
You're like, oh, the Treasury could just go and get a table from like get a spreadsheet from the IRS with all this stuff. But like no, they don't have the data. Like they can't.
Yeah.
Mingle, like I don't even understand.
I remember reading news about people that was called dead people receiving payments because they didn't know they die.
Yeah, I can see that. That's not the government is so inefficient. I don't think that they keep up with death certificates.
Yeah,
do those death certificates go anywhere?
Well, it's supposed to report to the state. It's supposed to report to the state. You know?
But if the Treasury can't query a table from the IRS, is the IRS going to be able to query a table from the death certificate people? There's no way.
This is why I want to see the infrastructure and the structure organization. I mean, it mind blows me. Imagine just now, think about this. People are working from home, or actually, do you think they consider as necessary workers, like essential workers, the IRS people?
IRS?
Yeah.
I think government work is essential.
Essential, right? So therefore, they probably have to go to the office then. So
yeah, I guess so. But I don't think their work is essential in office, right?
But remember, security is about security. But
yeah, they might have laptops and VPNs and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. You know,
you're right. Maybe they're all going to the office. They're the ones getting COVID and spreading it everywhere.
But either way, though, all I'm saying is that it should not have taken that long for someone to get their stimulus, $1,200, whatever it is.
$1,200, man. Like, yeah, they shouldn't wait that long. I also think our PPP plan was horrible, right?
Yeah.
We're gonna give no priority and no cap, right? Like, there's like, how do you have a cap?
I have a cap for the people,
individuals, yes, and not for corporations. I don't understand. Yeah.
Stimulating the economy, quote unquote.
Yeah, it's top down. That's the way it is. Trickle down. That's the way.
The funny thing is that a lot of companies knew they were gonna get it, so they bought their stocks with their own cash, and then they knew they're gonna get cash in. It's just crazy.
And then the market has recovered like crazy, and
yeah,
they're just like making money.
Hey, But no, you know, we hit new highs.
All-time highs. highs.
Back-to-back weeks.
I love that our economy doesn't give a shit. They don't care that there's a pandemic going on. We just always go up.
Like, actually, you know which stock don't care? Tesla stock doesn't care.
Tesla don't care at all. What are they up? What are they up for the year?
They hit their new high, 675.
Yeah, but like from the beginning of the year, right?
They were at $325, $330 probably, something like that.
Year to date. They were at $86 a share, and now
You're talking about from the very beginning, or you're talking about like
today? The beginning of the year.
They were $86.
$86 a share. $86.05, and now they are $695. They're at almost $700. Holy shit!
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
I didn't see that today. I didn't look at the chart
because
today.
They're gonna be in Dow's. They're gonna be in the S&P 500 Monday. Remember that?
Oh. Yeah, we're dating our podcast, but yeah, that's the.
Yeah.
Wow. Wait, yeah, I'm gonna show this to everyone.
Wait, they were $86. Oh no! Hey, remember they split up, so therefore it doesn't count the split here.
They definitely count the split.
So the split came in. This split.
They definitely count the split there.
Yeah, the split came in March. No, sorry, September.
No, these charts don't. They adjust. They definitely adjust.
I'm pretty sure they were not $80 per share. I'm telling you right now. Because I remember owning Tesla. I think this was like the split here.
No, there's no way that they were $80 a share at the beginning of the year. They were $200, $300, $400 something dollars. They were in the hundreds.
I know, but if you look at this though, it says year to date, right?
Year to date, yeah. So beginning of the year, they were 86, which is already including the split.
Oh, so they are including the split.
Yeah, that's it what I'm already okay, includes okay. the split. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I remember owning so them. I'm pretty sure they were a couple $100 before. I was like, what?
Yeah, yeah, they were definitely more. And then this is after split.
So this is the after price. Split.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Right?
Yeah.
They went 700%. Over 700%.
And no, hang on. And if the look at this. Between September, they double to now. They literally double. No, they triple. They almost triple soon. They're going to hit 700, right? Almost, yeah. Jesus Christ.
Wait, in September?
September, they were like down to 300 something, right?
Yeah. So they doubled.
They doubled, yeah. Jesus Christ. Man.
Yeah, Tesla has been like the golden child of all of these stocks.
Yeah. I love them. I love the Tesla stocks, though. I can't complain about that.
I don't know why they're worth that much, but you know what? I jumped on the train so that I could just revel in some profits.
It's a hope. It's a bull. You know, it's a bullish stocks. You know,
They just go up for no reason, right? Like, yeah. I feel like if they made announcements and they went up, I feel better that they're cost so much.
Listen, I cannot not root for Elon Musk. I'm sorry, that guy, he's probably giving his life, you know, to be honest, just to try to make some history. That's all I'm saying. I cannot root against the guy.
Yeah,
I mean he could be an asshole. I know probably because
I feel like
you have to be an asshole to do this kind of work. I feel like
I don't find him an asshole.
But people who work for him though,
the way he runs his company.
Yes,
I would not work for Tesla, right? Like I wouldn't work for them, but I will support them. Do well. I want you to do well, right? Like, no. That's fine, but like I would not work for him. He is too hardcore. He's like Bezos. I wouldn't work for Bezos either. Like it's just too much.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. All right, let's go back to the current events though. Okay, we're getting sidetracked. So what happened in April? What happened in April?
April.
Man,
I don't know.
April.
We should have looked this up before. If we were
So we bared the airlines. I remember that. We bared the airlines in April. Remember that?
Yeah.
Because I remember having stocks in Delta, and it shot up from like $10 per share to like $23 immediately.
Yeah. That's true.
Oh man, remember the cruise lines? They were so cheap at $7 per share, something like that.
Did they go? Have they increased as well? I feel like Carnival.
I'm curious as to what happened in Carnival.
I would rather go on an airplane than on a cruise ship. Like,
of course,
there's no comparison. I can't see them I can't see it being as strong to like own stock in Carnival or something like that. Doesn't seem right.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, think about this though. If you had a 5-day cruise and you know it's gonna cost you less than $90 per person, okay? Sorry, not 90 per person. It's gonna cost you $96 for two people per day to go on a 5-day cruise, all food inclusive and pretty much hotel. You wouldn't do it though?
When's the cruise?
Doesn't matter.
Is it right now?
Summertime. The busiest time in the world.
Like this coming summer?
Yeah, this summer. Yes.
I don't think I would do it. I don't think I would go. I might buy it and then try to get that push it to like 2022.
Yeah.
I don't think I would buy it so that I could go on a cruise.
Yeah.
In July. Like I don't know if that would what I would want to do.
Hey, you know what we didn't talk about at the beginning though? Remember the Australian fire? Remember the crazy stuff?
The Australia fires and the San Francisco the California fires were nuts all around.
Yeah. You know, the whole map was red. I remember that.
Yeah, that was nuts.
Yeah, one of the craziest things that happened. I remember during the I think it was Harvey Weinstein during February. When I remember he got finally found guilty.
Yes, I was looking at when that was because that was definitely a big thing too. Yeah. Harvey Weinstein was. No,
it's just so crazy how it took so long.
Oh man, the guy looked kind of fishy. Anyways, in general,
but hey, listen, when you need that power and that long for that long of a time, you know.
So, but I don't know. That's such a
Remember the Tokyo Olympics was this summer and they got postponed.
It got postponed, of course, because as soon as the pandemic started, there was like very little chance that. Well, I don't know. When it first started, it didn't seem like that big of a deal. Like it seemed like it was important, but it was gonna go away before the summer. We'll be able to go.
Well, everybody thought that it might go away after we were quarantined for a certain amount of days. Remember that?
Yeah.
And then it never did. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this year, though. Besides, you know, I mean, obviously we had some sad, obviously, you know, from Asian culture, remember Parasite? They swept the Oscar though, so.
Parasite was so, I haven't watched the movie.
Really?
Have you watched it?
I watched it. I didn't know the premises of it. I did not know that how, I guess, the, so he does a good, he does a really good job of the angling, the perspective. It for some reason it looks like a low budget film, but it's not. but it looks like it, but it's not though, right? I think that was done on purpose for certain characters, and but I don't know. It was definitely creative, and I'm glad that he. I didn't. I mean, I
expect you think he was win. Deserved over some of the other movies that were on there? Honestly, I looked at the list.
He swept though. Keep in mind.
Honestly, I looked at the list of movies that came out, and I was like. What movie really is deserving of a best movie or something like that? Right? Like,
director, best picture, he's definitely deserved that. Screenplay, yes, I can see that why. International film filtered, I can see that why. But and other things, I'm not sure. You know what I mean? But those three to four categories, hands down, I think definitely.
Like I didn't watch the movie, but I looked at all the other movies that were on the list, and I was like, I'm not sad that it didn't win, right? Or I'm not sad that something else didn't win, right? Like Joker. Like I'm not really,
Did you like the Joker? Did you like the Joker?
It was all right, but like I feel like it was like very, it was just a downhill trip. Like the whole trip was downhill. Like, it just felt monotone to me.
Did you feel Heath Ledger did a better job?
Yes.
No? Right. That's what I thought.
I love Heath Ledger as the Joker. Right, and so. This Joker, it was a good Joker.
No, it wasn't bad at all.
It was very good Joker, but like the movie,
I think
was so monotone. Like all of it was just like
the writing. I think the writing was a little bit not there.
Some people loved it though. Some people thought this movie was one of the best movies.
I thought the acting was great. I'm not bashing them.
Acting was good. I just thought that they should have had more ups and downs in the movie. which the whole thing felt like it was all down. Like everything just like, oh, another bad thing is happening to this guy.
Yeah. Hey, what happened? When was the Beirut, was Beirut attack, the bomb, that the factory exploding in Lebanon? When was that?
Oh,
was
the Lebanon explosion.
Was that July?
It was like a fireworks.
No, it was August. It was a yeah, it was a firework, maximum explosion of the nitrate. Remember that?
Yeah.
I was called ammonium nitrate, remember? That was in August. Man.
Wait, August of last year, not this year.
No, this year. What are you talking about? It's happened this year. I'm pretty sure.
In August?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that Lebanon explosion. Oh. Yeah, it was in August. You're right. Man.
Because I remember watching this on a TikTok video. I'm like, wait, what the hell just happened?
That's right. It just came up on like, it came up on some social media. And I was like, oh, shoot. Like, this is nuts. Like, I thought it was, I didn't think it was real. I just thought it was like, oh,
that was an old clip. I thought it was an old clip.
Yeah. That was a crazy explosion.
Yeah. I okay. So I thought July was a little bit calmed down, right? So you would think that nothing else could happen, you know, and then. And then Maxwell got arrested, the wife, Jeffrey Einstein, the wife of Jeffrey
Epstein. Epstein.
Yeah, Epstein, that's right.
Yeah, the whole Epstein thing happened too. Like, oh man.
Yeah. Remember the Twitter hack? Remember all the major companies got hacked by the Twitter accounts?
Oh my God.
Dude, we're blowing that shit up. Remember that in our chats?
Oh man.
That's a big Twitter hack, by the way. Bill Gates, what's it? Biden's account.
Yeah, it was a. They were all trying to get. They were all trying to get Bitcoin from everyone to send it to them.
No, we were monitoring the cash. Remember the Bitcoin?
It yeah, was yeah, yeah. Up. Yeah, yeah, yeah. How much money did they get? How much did you?
I can track that down. By the way, I think this happened July 15th or 16th. Remember
that was nuts because like we were tracking it too. Because I worked for a cryptocurrency exchange and we were tracking that was like. I was on, we have a special channel just for that Twitter hack. And we were like, oh, we created a Slack channel just to keep up with it. And I could not take my eyes off of it because it was just so nuts that all of these major people, major like celebrities were like tweeting this stuff out. And then people were just, oh yeah, well.
Hang on. So looking at the wallet right now, the unknown wallet, he didn't get that much. It only got 12.89 BTC. How much money is that now?
12.89
BTC. That's equals to it's $23,000 now, I guess.
Wait, how much? 12?
Yeah.
It's 500,000 now.
Yeah, it's 500,000. No. I think it's 29.
12.
Yeah.
270,000.
So 300K he got out of that.
That's all right. But there's no way to take the money out.
Yeah, that's right. That's
what I'm
saying,
like once it's in that account, everyone's following that account now. So like there's like if you take that money out, somebody's gonna find you and be like, oh, you hacked my sister.
No. Look, you can see the money being withdrawn. I was watching. I saw the final balance right now is only 0.02. They withdrew the money already.
They withdrew, but people are following the money.
Oh yeah, you can keep trying. You can keep trying.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. People are like, that's what that's about cryptocurrencies. People will follow you until the end, until they see an exit.
It would never stop.
Everything's trackable.
Yeah, that's true. And it's just on that account, and then I guess they can see what they can cash it, right? So, but they don't know who you are, though. That's the thing. That's the beauty.
Yeah, they won't know. They won't know exactly who you are, unless they see you. Take it out of an ATM or something.
That's really a little tough, though.
Like we got to get to this ATM right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think you know that. I remember that hack with Libby's. I was following that very closely as well. And I'm like, damn, how did they hack? You know, Joe Biden's account, what's called Kanye West's account, Bill Gates, Elon Musk. I was like, holy shit, this guy's a genius. I was like, nah, man, it's 2020, man, what a year to live.
And then IPOs, bro. IPOs. So many IPOs, and everybody made so much money.
I feel like this year the rich got richer, you know, like that's what it seems like, to be honest.
Wait. Yeah. Are you saying that this year the rich got richer, but every no, other it was
more
year,
obvious. It was more obvious.
Rich don't get richer.
No. It was more obvious this year to see that because we were in a pandemic, so therefore it was more.
Yeah, and more people are losing their jobs while the rich are still there. I think the rich are making the same, or if not a little bit more.
Yeah.
I guess with all the IPOs and stuff, like they were making a lot more, but still, like they're making their money, and then the people that are losing their jobs, and the small businesses that are closing down now because of all of this shutdown and stuff. It's it's just hard to watch. Yeah.
And well, don't forget about the Black Lives Matter movement too that happened, you know, during COVID in a situation, you know, the whole, you know, George Floyd, you know, so.
Yeah, so crazy. And then like all the protests that were going on, the riots that happened the first week I was watching those riots because they were on the news, and the news was so focused on the riots that they're like, oh, we're gonna follow these guys who are just
not
like,
they were focused on the riot, not focused on the actual protest. Sometimes it just and they not only that sidetracked it, a lot of the things, you know, like
they made it bigger than it was. And it, I feel like if they had not focused on it, like it wouldn't have been as used as a chip against the movement as it is.
Correct. I do think that riot definitely hurt the movement a little bit, just because to kind of discredit that.
Right.
So. Yeah.
But we get like we can't discredit the movement because it's
of course
it's
yeah
it's such a big deal that's going on for years, and like it just. It just toppled over right
well,
now.
Well, it hit a tipping point, right?
Yeah.
So it built up way too much. And it was definitely, I do think that, you know, being 2020, I feel like it's an important thing. We need to evolve. We can't fall back. And I feel like, you know, it's always been like two step forwards and one step back type of deal.
And I think that's everything though, right? Yeah. You have to, it's like small steps. It's like Kobe, like enjoying the process. You gotta push forward and just keep going, even though you get those slight step backs every once in a while.
So let me ask you this though: did you enjoy the NBA bubble?
NBA bubble, I thought it was fun. I thought it was fun to watch. I thought they did a good job.
Did you think he did a good job?
I thought they did a good job. They had fans on the screens and stuff. I thought that was well done.
I think they did a great job with the movement too, together to get the players. Remember the walkout? The players walked out, did not play the game, and they literally just being they went active on it. Did like a really good proactive approach. Listen to the players, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think Adam Silver definitely, you know, give him credit for that.
Yeah, I think Adam Silver is a good. He's a good commissioner. Like he's done a lot. Like everything he's done,
so passionate.
Everything he's done, I've been like, that's the right move.
He's compassionate. You can tell the moves are compassionate moves, though.
Yeah. I don't know.
You can tell.
I haven't thought about it, but that's probably true. That's probably why I agree with.
Because it's because you can tell, okay, this is the right move, right? And then not only that, though, he does think some stuff outside the box in a sense that, oh shit, this makes sense too, you know, like, so.
He's very common sense. Like he does, like a lot of the moves are just common sense moves, so it makes it easier to justify and to like in your mind when you're looking at what he's doing, you're like, yeah, I can see that.
Can you remind though? I mean, we're only seeing the end product as well. I'm sure there's a lot of planning, a lot of analysis that goes behind that.
You know what's one thing is like I say that it's like makes sense move because a lot of other things just don't make sense.
Makes sense.
Right? like people make moves and they just don't make sense. Like the government giving PPP to like all these companies doesn't make sense to have a cap here, not a cap there. Like, but Adam Silver, NBA, they what they did like made sense, and it just it was logical, so people can understand.
Well, at that time, everybody was so tired, and I feel like that it provided the right entertainment, but it was just like, okay, this is a good example if we actually protect ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and we can actually have some sports back. So this was
it gave people like watching basketball was great, right? Yeah. Also, that came right after Michael Jordan's The Last Dance.
Yeah,
So people were already like hyped, and I thought that like, The Last Dance was one of the best documentaries I've ever seen. Like it was so good, and it might be just me being a Jordan lover, and just when I'm watching the show, I feel like I'm back in the 90s. I feel like I'm there, experiencing it again. And you like that feeling was so strong back then, and it just comes back, and it was great. I loved watching that.
Just watching that fear competition talk so much. That guy loves to talk so much shit.
Just... he talks so much trash to everybody.
He talked
trash to Isaiah Thomas.
Yes.
Without talking to him and like without face to face. On his like documentary, he's like, he like watched a video of Isaiah Thomas and just like laughs at him. Whatever.
Did you hear about him recently getting back in shape right now?
Oh, he's gonna come back.
No, he's getting back in shape. That's what he's doing. I remember, but there's a YouTube video of him recently, him working out.
How old is he now?
56, maybe.
56.
I gotta look it up. I stopped following him a little bit. I don't know how old is he.
I'm down for him coming back and playing for Charlotte.
No, he's not gonna come back and play for Charlotte.
He'll play with LaMelo.
Sorry, he's 57.
LiAngelo. Is that LiAngelo?
Yeah. Yeah. So he's 57.
Yeah. Man. Michael Jordan. What a legend.
Overall, I do feel like with the quarantine situation, I think that having a little good entertainment was really good. I think basketball, and knowing that the quality of basketball, I feel like everyone's just scoring offensive new PRs, you know? Everybody exploded. TJ Warren.
But you expected that, right? Like that's expected.
Yeah, because there was no really home court advantage.
No home court advantage. Like as much as they can try to like simulate that and put fans in the stands, it's not, like, it's not going to be. So you were like, we're not expecting the same play. Like it's not gonna be the same basketball, but it'll be a different kind of basketball.
So let me ask you this though, do you think this championship counts?
Yeah, of course. Every championship counts. There's no stars next to anyone's names. Like it's as much as you wanna put a star there, once you look at the record books in 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, no one's gonna look at this and say, oh, there's a star next to that.
Yeah, he got the COVID championship. Doesn't count.
Yeah, like there's no one's gonna be like, oh, the lockout in like what they had 92. '92 lockout or whatever, like that doesn't count. No, no one's gonna say that it's a legit championship. And yeah,
listen, I gotta give credits to the Heat though. I'm proud of them, how far they went.
Yeah, definitely. Nobody thought that. Yeah,
I thought.
Overachieved. They definitely overachieved.
As soon as I saw they beat the Bucks, oh, we're going all to the final for sure. You know what I mean? Like, not only we beat them though, we actually we lost one game, right? No, we lost one game. We did 4-1. It was like it wasn't down to 7 games.
But do you think if they were in if they had home court advantage, you guys would have won the same?
Right? No, I feel like if we were healthy, we didn't have Dragic, we didn't have Bam for one game.
You think you would have lost?
I think would have come to game 7. That's what I feel like. I feel like we have 7 game series, and then would have given ourselves a chance to actually steal game 7. I don't think, I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I mean, think about this.
I don't think that it would have been different if they were playing at home. Also, if they went to game 7, like every game 7. No, every game 7 is a is the stars, like the star is going to be the one that comes out. So I think Giannis would have won that matchup.
No, I'm talking about
talking about the Lakers.
The Lakers, the final Lakers right now.
Oh, yeah. No. I don't think you would have beat the Lakers. Like you were going to lose to the Lakers no matter what.
No, so I feel like we were injured already going to after game 1.
Even if you had Dragic, you wouldn't
Bam
have,
too?
You had, I don't know. No. Man. I don't think you would have
Okay. I feel like if we'd have gone to game 7, I think we could have stealed it. That's what I'm saying.
No, I don't think you would have made a game 7. I think you won exactly the number of games you're gonna win. Even if there was like, even if you guys had home court, I don't think that would have happened.
I think we would have won 3 games. If we'd have home court, we definitely would have won 3 games.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, we'll see.
LeBron, AD, are you kidding me? Like that team was overpowered.
Okay, let me ask you. I'm saying by paper, hands down, they're definitely way much better than Heat. I agree with you that talent-wise. I'm not disagreeing with that part. All I'm saying is that, though, if we would have gone to Game 7, I think we'd give us a chance to steal that game.
If it goes to Game 7, LeBron takes over and it's done. The superstar, the biggest superstar wins in the Game 7s. That's how
let me ask you this, though. Do you think Lakers will repeat?
Yes.
Why is that?
Because nobody's gotten better.
So I feel like the West got weaker. Besides the Suns, though. The Phoenix Suns are...
Yeah, but the Phoenix Suns were a fringe 8th seed. Or fringe playoff team. But, and now they got slightly better.
Slightly? Look at the roster.
They got CP3.
And?
Who else did they get?
Didn't the sign, what's his face? Hang on. Didn't Oladipo go there? Hang on a second.
No, Oladipo's in...
No. Did he stay?
Yeah, well, he's under contract. He can't do anything.
Hang on. They got CP3. They got obviously Booker back, right? They got Jay Crowder. That's what it was. Jay Crowder went there.
He's not tipping the scale. I think CP3 was a big pickup
Ayton is good, though.
I think they're a great team. I think they go from like an 8th seed to like a 4 seed. They're not a top 2 seed.
I think Lakers are going to be the top 2 seed. Who else? Clippers? No.
I think the Clippers are over. I don't think anybody's.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like the West got weaker, right?
Yeah.
The Rockets are done. The Rockets are done.
Yeah. Rockets are done. I think the Mavs are coming. Are coming strong.
Oh, they're coming super strong. Who did they sign recently? The Mavs. Oh,
did they sign someone big? No, but just Luka and Porzingis, I think, are.
They gotta stay healthy.
And they have a nice core. Them, right?
Yeah, they got Josh Richardson. That's who it was. Josh Richardson. They picked up Josh Richardson, and they picked up James Johnson, and they picked up and then obviously they already had Tim Howard Jr. already. They picked up Cauley Stein. That's what it was.
Cauley Stein.
Yeah,
from the Warriors. Yeah,
they pick up defense, man. I'm telling you now, they picked up a lot.
No, I think they'll be good, but I don't know if I see them, they might be like a 3 seed.
Right. I feel like they'll do better than the Warriors for sure.
So. Oh man, why are you comparing against the Warriors? The Warriors,
they'll be lucky to AC.
I think the Warriors will be around 6.
Really?
Yeah. So who's ahead of them? LA, like the Lakers, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like the Clippers will probably be in their top 5 somewhere, right? I think the Mavs, the Suns, and then maybe like either the Nuggets or the Jazz.
I think the Nuggets are a force of record. I've seen the playoff last year. I'm sorry. They're definitely a force of
record. Jamal Murray is like going to another level.
Here's my line. I feel like Lakers, Nuggets, them. I can see the Jazz moving up a little bit. I can see Dallas moving up to the top 4 as well. Doesn't matter top 4. I feel like Portland Trailblazers takes 5th. Now
I feel like Portland is always gonna be in the I feel like Portland is always in the lower half.
Like I feel like if the Suns play well together, the Suns could be the 4th actually. I'm sorry, let me take that back. The Suns would be probably the 4th.
Oh, you're actually putting them in order.
Yeah.
Let me look at this.
And I do think that the Warriors may sneak in on the 8th.
I think they're better than the 8th seed.
I don't know. We'll see. I feel like what's his face has to show up though all the time. So. Ooh. Curry has to show up all the game. Yeah. He cannot get hurt either, though. So
Let's see. All right. Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets, Rockets are going down. Thunder are going down. The Jazz, the Mavs, Portland Trailblazers. The Grizzlies.
The Grizzlies. Oh, they look good.
John Morant's going to push them up a little higher.
But I still think I still think that
I think either the Nuggets or the Jazz, one of them is gonna. I don't think they're both gonna get better.
I think the Nuggets are not capped yet. I think the Nuggets are gonna get better.
No, I told it like, if I was to choose, I would say the Nuggets would probably
ones. They're just younger.
They're younger. Who's
Didn't they just add, what's his face to? Hang on. Who did they add recently?
I think Michael Porter Jr. is going to be.
Hang on.
I think
they got Bowl. They got Bowl.
Who?
And they got Gary. I remember, so Gary Harris coming back. They got Gary Harris coming back, right? They got Bowl Bowl. And obviously they got, I think Michael Porter Jr. is going to be amazing this year. I mean, this might be his breakout year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think Michael Porter Jr. is going to be big. That's why I think the Nuggets are going to be up there. Yeah. And then there's Jazz, Mavs. I think the Jazz are going to stay there. I don't even think they're going to, like, they were six last year. I don't think they're going to get higher.
I think they're going to drop a little bit.
Yeah, they might go down to seven. So then there's the Suns.
Yeah.
And then I think the Warriors are going to go up.
Who did they sign recently, though? Did Jazz sign anybody recently to make the they got Moutier, right?
Moutier sucks. Not playing very well.
Yeah, that's true. Who else they got, though, recently? I thought they drafted really well. Someone recently really good.
But either way, like, I feel like the Warriors are going to be somewhere in, like, it could be six to eight, somewhere in six to eight.
Right? Enough basketball, okay? We know that we'll see. We'll find out soon.
We love basketball so much. It's hard to
get basketball starts next week, man. Don't forget.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you're basketball starts next week.
All right. So, okay. Speaking of 2020 events, though, I mean, obviously, a lot of things has changed. Especially, I remember vividly what I was actually, you know, in August sometime. What was it? With Chaz Bovic. Chadwick Boseman. Well, Chadwick Boseman. Sorry. I keep butchering his name. Jesus.
Chadwick Boseman died. Black Panther died.
Yeah. And the thing is that he kept such a hush hush thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Nobody know. Like, I feel like only the Marvel, like the people who are.
No, he didn't. Some of the people didn't tell him that.
I think Marvel knew he was sick.
You think so?
They said they're not recasting him either.
They're not recasting, which is good. I think it's gonna be.
They're not recasting Black Panther. So the question is, how are they going to continue, or like, what are they gonna say as the reason that Black Panther's not in the universe anymore?
It's probably gonna be the female one, the female version. I don't know.
Oh yeah, maybe that. I don't know. Yeah, they have some CG where they could be like, he's passing off the reins to.
Yeah. Yeah. I could And don't forget, Ginsburg passed away too. She passed away.
Yeah. She's like the person for the feminist movement. Everyone who's feminist is like, Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Crazy year. So many people. Crazy people.
And then, after all of this, we still had a presidential election.
Yeah, right. To add a cherry on top, you know,
it's a cherry on top. We had a presidential election.
But listen, I am very proud to say that we had a record amount of votes. I was like, holy
crap. That's true,
showed up. People showed up, though.
Yeah, that's true. So, people showed up, and they made sure that their vote counted. Yeah. That's good.
People showed up regardless of the corona. People, all the mail-in, things like that. Like, people showed up.
Even though, like, 90% of it is fraud, right? Based on what I've heard from certain sources, it's crazy that what an election cycle. Kamala Harris, first female vice president, that's a great accomplishment right there.
That's true. I completely agree. I feel like this year has definitely has a lot. I feel like it has a lot more downs than ups, though. Do you think overall? Maybe sum it up.
Right now. If anybody can come up with, there's more ups than downs in 2020.
Yeah.
Please comment and tell us. Impossible.
Well, as a global event, you know, whatever type of deal, I feel like there are more downs than ups in general.
Coronavirus by itself was a down for the entire world.
Yeah.
So. It's impossible. Yeah, it's impossible to like to have a good spin on 2020. Like, I think when we look back, this is gonna be a very turn point year of like, this like coronavirus happened this year. Certain things happened this year that were very.
You know something funny? You know funny though?
Affect a lot of us in the future.
You know something really funny? The Simpsons predicted, like, kind of predict a lot of this stuff.
They predict everything.
Isn't it crazy?
The Simpsons. Maybe it's the fact that The Simpsons has ran so many episodes that eventually they're gonna hit.
I don't know about that. Come on, let's be honest, man. Like, really? Like, come on. So if you think about this, look, The Simpsons, like, how long have they been around for? How many episodes? Hang on, I'm trying to remember this.
20 seasons? 20 yeah. something seasons.
When did they write the Trump episode? They wrote the Trump episode so long ago.
I don't know. But you know, like, it's funny that, like, but they've been around for, like, here's what you're saying, right? You've been around for 20 seasons, 25 episodes a season. So you've written 500 episodes. I feel like if I wrote 500 episodes of a TV show, something's going to come up in the future.
But it's so consistent, though. Like, they predict a lot of shit.
Nah, I can't even disagree. Like, that Simpsons episode was ridiculous. There's also a book that, like, predicted the coronavirus.
Yeah, I remember that picture of that.
I don't remember what book it was. But, yeah.
It was written in, what, 1984 or something like that?
Yeah, in the 80s. Yeah.
In the 80s. And they said that in the early 2020, that's what it said. I remember that. I was like, holy crap.
Yeah,
it's definitely a year of conspiracy stuff for sure. Hey, aliens are real. Remember the Pentagon released that?
Oh yeah, that's right. The Pentagon released like footage of aliens.
No, not footage. It's like a paper. Remember the paper documentations?
They released all, like, they released footage and then documentation on the footage. I think that's what it was.
I'm pretty sure.
I saw a few videos of it.
No, I haven't seen the video. I've seen the documentation.
But they definitely confirmed.
But no one cared.
Confirmed UFOs, and nobody even. You know what I think? I think they like they announced it because everyone was so enthralled with other things going on.
The movements.
Yeah. So they were like, you know what? Let's just slide this under the rug here. We're gonna slide it in, and nobody's gonna say anything.
We declassify it regardless anyway.
Yeah, we're gonna declassify this under the rug. Like, we're gonna say it while all this other shit's going on.
Yeah, either the Pentagon released it, Trump's gonna sneak it out somehow. Might as well take advantage of that, you know.
has Trump said anything about it?
No, I don't know. And forget, we started Air Force. Space Force.
Like, I was like, Air Force. We had that for Space a while. Force. Man. It's quite a year. Hey, all right, Mike, give me your, like, let's look on the bright side, right? Three good things happened in 2020.
Okay, are you talking about personally or are you talking about overall?
Anything.
No, let's start with personal stuff. I think personal level for myself, this has been a year in blessing disguise for me. So for me, my life always moves so quickly, so fast. I feel like I was forced to slow down, but I think this was a good reflection to slow down on. And only that, the working from home gave me 10 hours, 12 hours back every single week. That adds up to almost 40 to 48 hours a week. That's a whole extra work week. And so I didn't realize, and then I'm like, I remember the first month, I'm like, shit, I got a lot of spare time. What do I do? Sleep in?
Make a podcast.
You know? And I was like, okay, I guess. I'm done with work at 2 p.m. Oh, okay. You know, no travel, you know?
Yeah.
And I was losing weight. And so I was like, okay, great, you know? But obviously, you know, from a reflection standpoint, I told myself, you know what? I'm just going to do me, in a sense, like, you know, find you know, stay motivated, have something to look forward to, you know. Yes, this pandemic had us locked down, try to figure out, you know, what can I, and I realized when we closed down, when we shut down, like, everybody was just very, I guess, on the phone, on their media, on the computer, right? But we were not talking in person anymore. And I think that's the reason why I think you and I started talking about, hey, let's start a podcast to get some of these conversations out there, because I was getting messages from different groups kind of talking about this, like, or walking to find water for certain topics. And then obviously we're involved in different group messages that have different topics, right? So I was like, I might not bring this up during COVID, you know, let's start talking about certain things.
Talk about everything.
Talk about everything.
All the stuff,
you know,
that's going on with our lives.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
So yes, from a self-reflection standpoint, I feel like this year for me, already going to January, I already wanted to improve on communication. So for me, every year I pick one soft skill set, one something that I want to improve on. And this year was communication. So originally I was supposed to take stand-up comedy in LA before COVID hit. That didn't happen. So obviously then we started this podcast and I read a few books that helped a little bit. When I came back to Orlando, I took the stand-up comedy class for a week straight. That was definitely I feel like everybody should do that just to experience it.
Just to experience.
Because you would admire storytelling a lot more.
Mm.
And how hard it is, how much work it takes. I feel like I got a tiny little fraction of it.
I got a fraction of it just working with you on your stuff.
So, hey, you only did it for 3 hours, okay?
I know. I only did it for 3 hours, and I was like, man, this is hard. Like,
it was for
30 seconds of joke, and I was like, man, this is hard. Like, I thought I could just come up and tell some jokes, but you know, like that's not how it works.
No, but I admire them a lot. I admire journalists a lot more. Learning, I feel like my learning curve of different areas this year, especially with a podcast, I can take that and just add on to it. It made me appreciate of how lucky we are for certain things, and what truly matters when it comes down to things. Like, it's just human life. I feel human life is the things that matter the most, and no matter what happens, you know what I mean, like. So I do realize, and you can see the true color of a lot of people during this kind of time who come out to help, things like that. I remember, before I moved back from LA, I remember going to like a food drive thing to help out some stuff. Man, let me tell you, there were a line of volunteers just too willing to help out, organize food, pass out food. I was like, crap. I was like, holy shit. You know, like
restored your faith in humanity.
It did. It gave me a little bit of glimpse of hope. You know what I mean? So I feel like that was a positive thing. But from my, at least my personal perspective, but yeah, from a global perspective, I feel like everyone's cleaner. Everyone's going to be cleaner.
Everyone's cleaner. That is good. That's a good thing.
Restaurants, bathrooms, public areas.
Yeah.
You know? So
who were they talking to? Somebody, but like, we were talking about how like, we'll like walk outside, come back in, and be like, all right, let's wash our hands. Yeah. Which before we really didn't really do. And nobody really
recommended.
Yeah, no, but like nobody even if recommended, nobody even did it, right? Like, yeah. Now the first thing we do when we walk in the house is wash our hands, which is such a great habit to have.
We create a new habit. Because it's being ingrained in us, you know?
It's hands a great habit to have, but if like something like this had to happen for us to do it.
It takes something bad to get something good out of it, which is kind of weird, right? Like, you would think that you want to be proactive, not reactive.
Yeah. That's how it works.
So how about you, Robert? Something positive, personally?
Personally, I started a new job, like...
That's right.
6 months ago. And
in COVID.
In the middle of COVID, work from home, completely remote. And it's been such a great experience, right? Like, the company I joined is amazing. The people there I work with are so smart and like I learned so much from them, right? So like career wise, it was a great year, and I feel so lucky that this happened, especially during COVID, right? So I also was laid off right the same day that I got my offer from this new company, right? And the timing was so amazing that like I didn't have time to like
rest.
I didn't even have time to like feel sad about my layoff, and I got an offer the same day. So I was like, oh my God.
Hey, did you get a severance?
Yeah, I got a severance package.
That's awesome. There we go.
That's not what made me happy though. Like, I didn't really it was all right. But then like I got a job offer, and like the whole team, everyone I've joined, it's been a great experience. So it's been fulfilling in that way. Personally, I started a cooking show. Did you watch this show, Mike? No, Mike was on a couple of times. But I started cooking. I understand a little bit about what goes on, but like really, I found that I don't like it. That's what I found.
But I feel like you just scratch the surface. Imagine you actually know how to do certain skill set very right. Like for
example, cutting, also yeah like yeah, yeah no like also like my the what I don't like is how much how, prep work takes how noob I am. Like I don't like how being such a noob. So if I started at level 5 or something, or I started at a different level, it would have been different.
Insert like, level 5.
Yeah. If I could like pay my way to level 5 or something, right? Like
cheat code. Enter a cheat
yeah,
code.
Yeah, enter some cheat code. But yeah, no, like starting out, like it's so hard to get the skill set together to be able to yeah. start creating, right? And that's I think it was the fun part about cooking, which yeah. I am nowhere near that. So me just running through the motions was not fun for me.
Yeah.
But I think if
but you held yourself accountable. So I'm proud of you, that man.
You held yourself accountable. I did it until I couldn't anymore. Cause right, like I would have kept going. It's just it was so much time suck for my.
I think you did it because did you ran out of the did you ran out or did you end up switching? I forgot why you stopped though. Did you stop for a reason?
No, I stopped because it took up too much time in my day. Right, so like, or too much time in a week, right? So like, I have so much time.
Episodes, right? You did 3 episodes per week, right, or 2?
I did two episodes a week, but then, like, there's an hour of prep which I also videoed, and then like an hour or two of actually cooking, and like, no, it was an hour of cooking and then an hour of like cleaning, right? So like, it was 3 hours, twice a week, and I just didn't have the time for it. Like I was like, oh, I have the podcast going on, I have work that I'm just like starting up, right? Like so I need to learn a lot of stuff for this new job, and it just didn't have enough time to do it. I probably started up again in 2021 sometime, but like I gotta figure
out. So you think you'll return to HelloFresh?
I don't know. I'll probably get
are you gonna start finding recipes and stuff like that?
I'll probably get like friends to send me recipes,
some easy ones and stuff.
Yeah, or like Maybe listeners or viewers or whatever.
Yeah, but drop some comments. You know, what you looking to for beginners?
Yeah, if you guys have any ideas cooking of cooking, like anything that's any content that I could do where I'm like cooking, but like you know, like I'm such a noob and I like can't
that,
believe
like that grilled cheese sandwich.
That grilled cheese sandwich was that looks so amazing. Good. Monte Cristo was awesome. It was so good. See, like that type of stuff is fun, but like just following a recipe, it wasn't that fun to me. Like that's not fun. Like I want
to
just.
But you had to start somewhere, though. Listen,
right, and you gotta learn the basics. I understand that, but for me, like it was more work than I could handle at the time.
So I feel like if you did this with somebody next to you, I feel like you would enjoy more.
Maybe you gotta find a COVID girlfriend.
Yeah, there you go. You gotta get a COVID girlfriend, man. What's wrong with you? Get on top of that.
What am I doing here? Oh, man, I'm getting off this podcast right now.
Go out meeting people.
It's in the middle of the night, but I'm gonna go find a COVID girlfriend.
No, but I do feel like dating COVID definitely has been a little bit, you know, downer for a lot of people.
It's been horrible.
Yeah. But actually, before we turn on the negative side of things. So from a positive side of things, you know, from a global perspective, what is the positive thing you think that happened?
Globally?
Yeah.
Let me think about this. I think I like that everything is going more digital, right? Like I
don't think we had a choice.
No, and I like that, right? Like I like that that like delivery is getting better. That's everything true. That's like online is getting better because they have to. And I like that. Like I like the video chatting is getting better. It hasn't like there's been like Zoom I think is pretty new, but like before that we had Google Meets, which was horrible, and they've had to up their game because Zoom came in. Like
they upped the game. Microsoft Team upped the game too because Zoom came
in. Yeah, I feel like it pushed all of the technology forward because we had to. I like that. Yeah.
My parents learned how to use tablets.
Oh, really? My mom's been using tablets for years. Your parents are behind.
They're behind, man. You know? No, but so now in terms of, talk about recap or the year, right? Stuff like that. I think jumping back into the podcast itself, right? So if you can name 2 things that you think we did well in the podcast, what would that be?
Positive things? I think we were very consistent. I think we were
just in general.
Like in the podcast, I think we were consistent. Just coming in every week,
showing up
and doing it. I think it's a big step, right? Like whenever I talk, like whenever people I talk to about like creating stuff, which I don't know if I have any authority to give this advice to, but like I'm like, if you want to go do something, just do it. And that's really the biggest hurdle is just doing it, right? And I feel like we did that. We got together, we talked about it, and we're like, all right, let's do it. And then we actually put our actions towards it, right? And we did something, and we created content every week and like put it out.
I've been having a blast doing it.
Right, and it's been fun to do, and I think I really enjoy it. It's just I think that was one of the best thing that we could have done is just put it out there and just like let it go, right? Gotcha. Like we didn't give up on it. Like we could have gave up.
We could have gave up easily. I think so I personally think that I think one thing that we did well, like you said, obviously the consistency behind it. But I still think I do think that kind of, you know, getting the diversity of topics to talk about different things. I feel like we've done a pretty decent job of getting different topics, not being monotone for certain topics, you know what I mean? And just try to put, you know, ask the right question as much as we can. I see the evolution of our first episode to our latest, you know, 23 episode on how we ask questions.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's definitely, we're always looking for room to improve on. And that's one thing that I like, you know, I feel like we're still riding that momentum going up.
Yeah. And I feel like our podcast is just getting better because it's not as as monotone as the first episode.
I mean, July 5th, we just aired the first episode July 5th. It's only been 6 months.
Yeah. And we're doing a great job. Just putting content out is the hardest part, I think.
So let me ask you this now. Which topic you had the most fun in?
Oh, the most fun in?
Yeah.
Had was...
Which topic did you enjoy the most, I guess you say?
The topic I had the most fun in?
Yeah.
Let me look through this. You go through. You tell me what your.
I enjoyed the Groot episode. I thought I had a really good time. I thought having that. I feel like we need to have more group episodes for sure. Yeah. But I feel like having different perspective, from different level of relationships, female. Like, but you can tell the message was consistent no matter what stage they were in.
Yeah.
For some of those things, you know.
I don't know if that's a group thing. Maybe we could also like break out the group, right? Like we had a huge group. That was the biggest group I've ever seen anyone do a podcast with. So we could probably have taken that group and breaking it down into smaller pieces, and then we could get like more detailed on what they actually thought.
We could extrapolate a lot of those topics more subtopics
for so sure. I think that was a great episode. I think my funnest episode was with Jonathan. Talking about his son, talking about like his work and everything. Like it was
social movement, how does it impact his family?
Yeah, it was
as a cop.
Yeah, and it was just fun. I feel like he brought a lot of energy,
though. But he's also a good speaker.
Yeah, and he had a lot of stories. He had stories about Mike that I never heard before. It was great. I had a lot of fun on that episode.
So let me ask you this: then, which topic, I guess, do you feel like you learned the most out of? Like that you didn't know, or maybe you knew a little bit, but you learned more about it.
The one I learned the most of was Sophia, just like talking about mental health and all that stuff. Like I had no
going idea. Into that. Yeah, so going into it, you had no idea in certain, like, for certain things.
I mean, I've had friends who've gone through stuff, but like I haven't really talked to them about it, and it's just something that doesn't really come up unless.
So I feel like that is. So I agree with you on that. I feel like that is on my top two episodes. I think I learned the most out of. I know Sophia pretty well, but there was a lot of stuff that she revealed there. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
And I was like. That's just
it. That episode brought me questions to other people. Like I asked my pharmacist friends and I asked my doctor friends, and I've asked a lot of other people about stuff that from that episode that I didn't know before, and I don't think I would ever have asked it if I didn't, like, if we didn't talk to her, right? So it was very mind opening for me.
So how about the hardest topic that we discussed, you think that you think you had a hard time talking about, you know?
So hardest topic for me, probably the girl episode. Like, really? as much as fun as that episode was, it's like, I don't talk about relationships. Like, if Mike, you know this, like, I don't ever talk about relationships or anything.
You're very quiet.
So whenever that topic comes up, I'm usually very quiet. I'm very reserved in that category. Yeah. So that, like, just
was it awkward or was it just hard?
No, it was not it's not awkward. It's just I just never talk about it. So then I don't have funny things to say. Like usually I'm like looking to add color, right? So I'm looking to bring a different perspective, but I didn't have anything to bring because I just don't talk about it.
So let me ask you this, because you don't talk about it, it's because it doesn't come up in a normal conversation with a common of friends, or is it because it's a topic that
I feel like I'm not experienced.
Experienced?
I just don't have the experience. Like, I want.
You mean like not dating enough, or you're talking about like,
like, I don't think I've dated
quite enough.
I don't think I've dated like anybody really. Like, I think I've had like two girlfriends, and
which is fine,
for a long time.
But you got a lot of dates though.
And I've, like, honestly, I haven't dated anyone for like, I want to say 8 years now, right? So like,
but you've gone on dates though.
I've gone on dates, but it's not like nothing serious, right? So like,
that's too experienced though. You gotta send that. I mean,
but like, I don't count it as like experience unless it's unless something happens, right? Like, I feel like dating is not a fun thing. Like, it's not
dating. Hey, it's about the process, man. So
yeah, I mean, if I was talking to Kobe, I would be talking differently. But like, I don't like that process. I don't like like dating. I don't like first dates. I don't like.
So you think, let me ask you this though: that you think you will enjoy a more of an arranged marriage? No,
at first, I don't know. I just don't like.
Yeah, enjoy the process, buddy.
I feel like I don't like meeting people. That's what it is.
No, so. I feel like you do like meeting people, but I feel like that's first step. Once you kind of know them a little bit, then you like become a little bit more extrovert. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. But like, I just don't. I don't ever put any mind to it. Like,
but you did it though when you moved to SF. You did it. You think about that. You did put them in mind to it.
Yeah, but like, it's. I don't know. You put yourself
in a situation where you were uncomfortable and you knew that you had to start from scratch, right? And you put yourself in a most social building in the freaking downtown. What else do you want? You are looking for it.
Maybe. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right, Mike. But honestly, it's like my actions don't, like, when I'm in a situation, I'm not proactive enough in that.
But Robert, but your sub actions, your subconscious is doing it for you.
Probably true, right?
Just release the Robert.
That's probably true. My subconscious is probably like, Robert, just go out there and meet a girl. Yeah. But for me, I just don't do it. The conversation, I don't really know what to say because I don't know how, like, I just don't have experience in.
So let me ask you this though. Are you on dating apps?
Yeah, but I don't like.
You don't like it?
Nothing happens.
Then you could just talk stuff. Just make up shit messages.
Maybe that's what I gotta do. I gotta get out of.
Practice that,
right? I gotta get out of being me and be someone else.
Just unleash the rubber. Yeah, that's all I gotta
say. I don't know. But yeah, it's.
So, okay, let me. So now for me, the hardest topic episode was to discuss, I feel like, was the defunding the police.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
With Sean. First episode.
Because we kind of talked about it on the side for a little bit, but I felt like it was a deeper conversation that it needed to be involved in, because obviously the defunding the police title is not what it means, right? But most people don't know that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it was kind of misleading to sort of a lot of things, and I did a lot of research looking at budgets, looking at stuff, and it all came down to, do they really, really want change locally? And the way that a lot of system was set up, it was just that we don't, how do you change that?
Impossible to change.
And it's a hard discussion because I feel like this is an issue that has to change within. And it's hard to change because, and the way the system's set up, you can't just snip it. You know what I mean? There's no way.
Right, no, right. You can't just cut it off. And it,
yeah. And better. It enrages me a lot more. So like, I'm like, so the more I talked about it, I'm looking at this, I'm like, it just makes no sense at all. You know, and unless you get the right people in place as a leader to do something about that, or unless you're becoming rich and powerful to influence something, I just feel like it's tough.
So all you got to do is become rich and powerful, Mike. All you got to do.
We'll say one day, maybe.
You came up with a solution already. That's great.
Robert, if I was rich and powerful, I would never tell you I was rich, okay, in the first place. You would never know.
I totally think that's true. I totally think it's true.
You know what makes it true?
I think it's true as well. Yeah.
No, but yeah, I do think, you know. So let me ask you this. So I guess, you know, I know we talked about, you know, most fun episode, hardest topic. So if you were to pick, I guess you would pick, you know, two soft skills that you think you learned the most out of this podcasting. What would that be?
Soft skills.
Yeah. Soft skills.
Yeah, I think the communication was really big.
In what way?
In that, like, when we first started, I didn't know what to say. We got on. I was like, oh yeah, we're talking to friends, but it's like when the camera's on, you get kind of camera shy. I don't know why, but like you just get camera shy, and like I feel like we've grown a lot in the way that in how comfortable we are.
Yeah.
Camera on.
We're more casual. Yeah. More relaxed.
And I feel like that helps with being comfortable with asking questions. Like just, and I feel like I still have a lot of work to do. Like when we have any guests on, I'm still like thinking of questions. I'm also slow. I know that when I'm in meetings at work or like anywhere and someone's giving me information, it takes me time to like
process
it and then ask any questions that come up. And so like this has helped me where I'm like, all right, I need to like be involved in the conversation, right? So like get the information in and like have some sort of reaction to it. Yeah. And it's improved a lot of that in my life.
So let me ask you this. So you mentioned earlier, like the episode Sophia that you think you learned the most, right? You were processing. Did you feel like you had the time to ask the right questions?
In that episode specifically, I feel like moment. I was processing way more than I was questioning, right? And way more than I had said anything. Like if you watch me in that episode, I don't seem like I know what's going on half the time. But it's really? More.
It didn't seem like it. It didn't seem like it.
I don't know. From me, from my perspective, when I'm looking at it, I'm like I'm like not involved in this. I just don't know what's going on. But like honestly, it was just me listening and trying to process all the information to understand what's going on. And when I look back, I'm like, man, like there was a lot of information there, and I learned a lot from it. So, yeah. I don't know. I feel like I'm much better learner when I'm just like listening
to people. So for me it was I do agree with the Sophia episode. I came in a little bit more prep, but then as soon as she threw some of this topic out there, I'm like, wow, I'm like, okay, I know nothing about, but I kind of knew in a sense that okay, maybe I need to ask this method or this and why, because I feel like there was a lot of, I feel like we could have done, I want to bring her back because I feel like we could have done another subtopic, a segment for different subtopics. The political side of things, right? The money aspect of that. I feel like those two alone could be a whole different complete episode, you know? I do think this episode with Sandy, I think like we had no excuses. She does so much stuff. Like we have no excuses enough what we could be doing. You know what I mean? Like always in the hustle, right? You know, like, so that for me was like a most motivating episode because I was like, shit, I'm like, I need to get my ass moving.
She is a worker. Like she definitely like working hard all the time.
She has a kid.
I totally admire her for that. Yeah.
And she cooks, by the way. She doesn't make any excuse for the 3 hours taking cook time, you know? So
but she doesn't take 3 hours to cook. Well, we talked about this. She said she cooks in like 30 minutes. So like, if
30 minutes an hour, yeah.
If it took me 30 minutes to cook, I totally do it. Like, I think
but she
preps totally
it. But she preps it though. That's what I'm saying. She preps at nighttime and stuff. So
I mean,
she preps a lot of stuff. You just gotta prep, man.
Yeah, I just gotta get better. I gotta get better knife skills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think what humbled me a lot is one of the episodes. I think the food insecurity one. Some of those numbers just shocked me in a sense. I was like, holy crap. In America, we're the richest country in the world. We have this.
Yeah.
Isn't that?
And we're so gluttonous that we, that we have
it makes
this.
No sense at all. It just makes no sense. It's so much food waste too.
Yeah. We waste so much food, but then we have so many people that are going, that are starving. So
just malnourished people, you know?
Yeah. Like, that was eye opening for me too, for sure. Like, I was like, oh man, I didn't even think this was a thing. Like you gonna come on and tell me that the U.S. has people starving? Like, come on. But yeah, it's true. And there's a lot of people starving. It's not just a little.
Not just a little, yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I do realize, though, like, you know, I feel like the different topics that we discuss, there's a little bit here and there we that we extrapolate out of. I mean, I think the episode with Michelle, I thought, you know, that was just, you know, being school in COVID, right? So she's a teacher. And so, like, I was like, wow, that Zoom thing actually kind of works. You know, like, I don't know how she does it with the third graders, but great, you know, I guess, you know, like, so, you know, just in general, right? Getting that attention span, you know, I feel like it's a lot different.
Yeah.
So I admire that in a sense.
I think it's interesting how we have topics that we're going into, and like, they almost never end up where we want it to go. Like, where we expected it to go. Like, we expected it to talk about this, and it always ends up somewhere else. Yeah. And I think that's something that we've learned, right? Is to roll with the punches and to just keep going. And just to like, whatever happens, happens. We're gonna let it go. And I think that's something that we had to learn, because our first episode, we very much knew what topic we wanted. We knew where we were going. And without knowing where it's going, like, when more people come in, there's always going to be like more uncertainty of where the top conversation is going to go.
I think, like, for example, the group one, I had a hard time of just trying to make sure everyone was involved. And so I was not really active talking to as much, because I was like, I'm making sure, okay, did she mention this already? Did she talk this already? I was like, I wasn't taking notes. I'm like, she mentioned this. Okay. So I made sure I had to ask the right question, because it was hard to control. Okay. Because someone can jump in before you.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you know what I mean? Like, so like, when do you jump in? I feel like that little second, that timing, I'm still struggling with.
Yeah.
I do definitely think that there's more room for improvement. I think that's also coming down with experience and chemistry. So that's for sure, though. Yeah. And one of the things, though, it's, you know, to take away, I mean, in terms of, you know, fun episode, hardest topic episode, I think we've done a really good job with a variety of topics. I mean, obviously in 2021, we're going to take it up, you know, another level. But in terms of what we cover a lot of current events, right? We cover a lot of the, you know, hard topics that we discuss.
Yeah. We did a lot of like, we also talked about COVID, like, every episode. I guess it's because it's here.
COVID season, man. It's COVID season.
It's COVID season. So we talked about that a lot.
We're in season two now, you know?
Health. We brought on we brought on people who just, like, just about work and career. Like, I love those episodes. Like, just learning how people got through where they're at right now. It was
great. I love catching up with friends about their life. I feel like their story is fascinating, where they are, how they're grinding their way up there, you know.
Yeah.
I completely agree. Like, and I think we're gonna have more of that for sure coming up. Especially like, you, different professions, just a whole different ballgame.
Yeah. Even with Jason coming on as a cook and like a cook during COVID, creating gluten-free food, who knew this was this niche was there and needed.
He's killing it now, by the way. I caught up with him the other day. He's killing it right now.
Like, I've seen his posts and stuff. Like, his posts are amazing. Like, all the food he makes is so good.
Yeah, he did the whole Thanksgiving family feast meal catering thing. Yeah. All right. I think even with Abby, you know, it's the sales stuff that he did, how he grinded it out to become a better salesman. You know, it's about relationship building, you know, in a sense. Yeah. So It's definitely one of the, starting a podcast, my expectation going in that I just wanted to make sure I become a better listener. And I think I've done a decent job at it. I feel like there's always room for improvement for sure. My biggest thing that I felt like half of the time, at least for the first 5-10 episodes, I was not asking the right questions sometimes. Not only that though, I also had to work really hard not to let my emotion come in and become biased at certain things. I think that's hard. I just think it's just human nature. We're emotional beings. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I think I was the opposite, right? Like, cause I'm always listening. So then I thought, like, when I'm coming in, what I needed to work on was responding versus listening. Cause I'm always like, I was listening and I hear it, but like coming up with a response is more difficult and takes more time for me.
Because you're processing still, probably, right?
Right. So like I don't know. Maybe I'm like crazy slow. So like everything takes forever for me to process. But yeah, so like for me, responding was a big thing. So coming into it, I was like, yeah, I need to. I'm gonna go on here. We're gonna have guests on. I'm gonna be able to like practice listening and asking questions and being more inquisitive. Yeah. Where I'm also like a lot of times I just take things as they are, right? And there's gonna be a lot of things that you hear that you might understand, but the audience doesn't understand. Yeah. So then you need to push to explain more explanation.
But I feel like we both have definitely, you know, throughout this process, we learn a lot more about humility behind this because we know that it's an ongoing thing. And it takes, and in order to be that open-minded, we need to, you know, to remain a little bit more humble about ourselves, certain things.
Yeah. I think creativity is hard, right? Like, I feel like coming into this, I was like, oh yeah, we just make a podcast, everything will come together, and we'll like, like we'll just come up with ideas.
This is
like,
the logo itself, man. Like, I didn't even
know the logo is going on. Oh my god, like the logo took forever, the website took forever. Like being creative is hard work, right? Like it's a whole different side of your mind that you don't
that brain that I don't ever use either. You know,
like and. Like you might have an idea of how to get it, of like what you want, but then you'll see like four things that are very similar, and you'll be like, I don't know which one. And it just coming up with your design that you want is also hard because you might have this idea, but it might not on paper come like once it comes out and you see it, you're like, this is not what I want. So yeah, it's creativity is. It's hard. It's not easy to do.
Yeah, I do agree. So part of it is that I did wanted to kind of work on that a little bit myself as well. And I think coming up with, if we come up with a topic, right, it's not an easy set to be done because we have to structure it maybe. And we have to prepare for, okay, if this conversation doesn't go this way, we got to make sure we're able to pivot, you know.
Yeah.
But the fact that we had to act on it during the moment and then pivot back, I feel like that took a while to get used to.
Yeah.
Like, I remember watching our first 5 episodes. We were going off tangent.
Yeah. How do we bring it back? And we even talked about this, off camera. We're like, how do we bring it back? Like, how do we
move? Certain episodes we did a good job. Certain episodes we did a good job.
But we were like, how do we even do this? So we were like, we had to brainstorm how to even, like, get topics back on track, right?
Yeah. And I think definitely, you know, adding onto the list of things we could improve on, I think that's definitely one of them.
That's definitely one. That's the top of my list too, right? Like, if we're going to improve on anything, it's making sure that we don't go off topic and that we like, understand the direction of where things, the conversation's going. Because otherwise, we're just following along and that's not how... It's not interesting for you guys. It's not interesting for us either because we're just like, we don't even know where we started.
So my goal is to, you know, for my New Year's goal, I guess, you know, things I've improved on is that how can I create more value out of the hour and 2-hour episode that we do? Mm. I feel like, what I mean by creating value is that how can we make our conversation more effective, more efficient? That's what it comes down to, right? I feel like I definitely we have much, you know, work to be done on that aspect of that. I think that takes probably a little bit more preparation or maybe more focus on certain things. And but not only that, the realization of what we're talking.
Hmm. Yeah.
So be in the moment in the process, right? So
on my side, I'm the technical side of the podcast. So for me, it's more of make sure that our guests are technically ready for the whole process, because we seem to have technical difficulties like every episode.
Yeah, but we've done a good job at that. I feel like we've done a good job on that.
A lot of it's not even our fault. Like, it's not stuff that we can control right. either, right? Yeah. But stuff like audio stuff that happens, it is our side, so that we should be ready for.
Yeah, I think we definitely need to be minimize that a little bit on our errors. I mean, God didn't give them fiber optics. That's a different story, you know, but but we can control what
we got to control what we can, right?
Yeah, that's true. And one last thing, though, in a sense, let me ask you this. So what is one topic that you think that you really want to discuss next year?
One topic I really want to discuss next
year. Yeah.
Oh man.
It's tough, right? Like,
that's a tough question.
Yeah. Because in order to arrange the high priority things, I feel like I can go first, right? For me, one of my highest priority topic that I want to discuss next year is a little bit about the economic, from macro perspective, the whole economy situation, how people are not looking at this macro level, like this whole long debt cycle. I feel like this is a huge global issue that we don't see but I want to bring somebody in who actually knows this really well and kind of educate us more on it. I feel like I just scratch the surface because I follow a lot of stuff, and I feel like, but this is a big deal. Like it's a huge freaking thing. So I feel like that should be one of the high priority, I think, conversation.
Yeah. Interesting. I'm like a macroeconomics person to come in to talk. That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, we're both like pretty financially minded people, right? So we're always looking at the economy. Yeah. We're always looking at stuff. Yeah. So
we're not the average person, obviously, that does.
Yeah, obviously not the average person who is just out there grinding away. Like I know a lot of friends of mine who just don't ever look at the economy. They don't know what the finances and like what they're supposed to do. How do they invest in stuff, right? So
investing is one thing, but understanding the whole micro landscape on how certain things impact your daily life, though. People don't understand that it does impact your daily life, whether you like it or not. And by the time they realize it impacts the daily life, it's already too late. They're reactive.
Maybe that's why we're all complaining about stuff going on macroly.
Yeah.
I guess that's true.
Yeah. And for me, the next topic priority, I feel like understanding, you know, more about the female equality thing. I feel like I want to, you know, get into that a little bit more. I don't think we touched base on that episode as much in this year. We touched about social justice a little bit, side of things, especially, you know, we obviously from a equality standpoint, you know, they're getting on the pay, things like that. But I feel like they add so much value for certain things, you know, and, you know, not they don't get enough recognition type of deal. So I feel like, and I do want to get a little bit more, just to learn more about that topic. So, yeah.
For me, I think I want to talk about like immigration. Like we've had a lot of issues with immigration and how
you kind of scratch the surface a little bit for some.
Like how the whole process works, because the whole process is very. It's tedious and it's complicated, right? As an American citizen, like I didn't know how difficult the whole process was until like talking to friends. And
you're just focusing on regular immigration, right? You're not talking about the H-1 visa people immigration. You're not talking about
all of this is included, right? So for me, from my perspective, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you have some, like you want to become an American citizen. Oh, you apply for a visa, you get it. And then you stay here for a certain amount of time and then you become a citizen, right? That's so not how it works. So like just being able to get here, once you're here, you have to apply for a bunch of stuff. So it's a complicated subject, right? And it's complicated in a sense that like it affects people's lives, and the laws that we create affect, like it pushes it, to
some of those laws is so just frustrating. And I'm like, why does it exist?
Yeah,
you know, some things, you know. But yeah, I feel like immigration definitely needs to break down to different subtopics, though, because I feel like I don't think one episode will cover all of that stuff.
Definitely not. But we should talk about it more in the coming year.
That's true. I wish we could get like an immigration lawyer. I might have a friend that does that.
Oh, well, here we go.
Yeah.
We're going to call you out before you even know who you are. Before you even asked.
All right. Let's see, though. But yeah, I think that would definitely be a great topic to talk about. So...
I think
2020, though, definitely for sure has been, you know, one of this crazy years. I'll probably look back into this and just watch yourself, I guess, a little bit.
I feel like we're gonna look back and be like, that was one of the most difficult years
to
go through.
But I feel like everybody learned a lot more about themselves and others, significant others, a lot more. They got stuck with them for, you know. So if you're married,
man, so many relationships died from COVID, and so many relationships got so much stronger. Just knowing that like you can live with someone for six months, 8 months, right, is amazing. And
let me ask you this though: you think the divorce rate has gone up this year or gone down?
Divorce rate?
Yes.
Increase. I think it's increased
in America. I'm talking about America. You think increase?
I think it increased.
I wonder if there's a table for this.
Because think about it. Like if you're married, right, you don't see your wife or your husband like 8 hours a day, right? Like for any time you're working, normally you are away, and then you come back and you guys can complain about what's going on at work and stuff, right? Like that. Like I don't know. And then now you're just always there, like just always being there. I think people don't know how. Like they don't know how annoying other people are until they're there.
So let me tell you this: the U.S. divorce rate has been gone down for the last 19 years. Okay, so they were on trending downward the whole time, which is great, right? Sure. Because people are making smart moves, things like that. But also though, the marriage rate has been all time low as well. It's been gone down.
I think the marriage rates. Gonna stay there. I don't think it's gonna go.
You know, so I guess we have to wait until next year to see the stat. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I haven't found any of this stuff.
Yeah, no, I definitely think that people, and I feel like it might. Yeah, I think a divorce rate will go up a little bit, but it won't go up a crazy amount. But then, yeah, like I feel like relationships in general. Oh my goodness!
Oh yeah!
My alarms are going off. Yeah, so yeah, I think relationships in general have broken up a lot more.
Yeah. So to recap, in a sense, so if you were to pick one thing that we should do better next year, what would that be immediately?
Of us? On the podcast,
yeah. I think
driving the conversation is probably our number one priority. To make sure that we can drive the conversation where we want it to go and get to an end. Whereas like a lot of times we just talk and there's no conclusion to the
there's no value to that. That's sub conversation. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, for me is to get this down under an hour 30 minutes per episode.
Oh, really? Even this episode is not under an hour 30 minutes.
It's a new year's goal, man. What are you talking about? It's a new
year's goal. Oh, next year. Okay. All right, that's the goal.
All right, so let's end this recap episode, you know, with a funny thing. You have a funny thing?
No, I don't have a funny thing, but I will update you guys on. I know you guys are so on the edge of your seat about the grudge match that's going on. So last time we talked, Daniel Negreanu down. What was it like? 500,000. I think last time at 7,000 hands, he was down 518,000. He went down $959,000 to Doug Polk. Like they each put in $1 million into online, and he almost had to go and buy it. Like he almost had to go in and put more money in, right? So he's down almost $1 million, and then the last time that they played, he won back $140,000. So he's at like -$800,000.
Right? That swing is
the swing. So
wait, Negreanu's winning right now?
No, he's losing.
Oh, he's losing. I was gonna say
he's losing $800,000. Right.
Jesus
so
Christ.
It's looking bad.
Hey, it's chump change. Don't worry.
I'm changing. $1 million is still a lot of money, even to
but listen, they're not even halfway there yet, though.
Right. So they're game. Yeah. So they're at 10,784 hands. They're playing the 25,000. They're playing yeah. for
so
at 12,500. They're gonna play live again, which should be in Daniel's favor. So he should win back some money there.
You think he'll win 100K out of that?
Yeah, I think minimum 100K.
He's
yeah. Like the first time they played, he won 150 grand.
Oh, so yeah, for
sure. 200 yeah. hands out of like 10,000, right? So he
that's a lot. Shit.
So he played really like he's really good live. Yeah. Yeah. But like he's down 814,000. A lot of money. Almost down.
Do you think he might be just what's the word? Tilting.
He's definitely yeah. tilting. So I'm watching this pretty consistently, right? So yeah. they do like a live stream without seeing what hands they have. And then yeah. at the end, Daniel has his team of people that are like casting it, right? So at the end, he gets on and just like, does a recap with them, right? Like how he's feeling. Yeah. There's a couple where he was just like cursing and like, what the fuck? This guy's always on a heater. But like, yeah, it's like, Daniel's been on a...
But do you think they're using bots? He's using bots
online? No. Neither of them are using bots. They have video on them the whole time.
So
they've really thought it through about like how to do
though.
It. But like it's funny because like Doug Polk has been on a heater. Right? He's actually been running better in general. So you never know when it's going to swing back. But like swing was like almost a million. Yeah. So... And if it keeps going, like those swings can last months, right? They might not last for 10,000 hands. It might last for a full 20,000 hands. So it might be worse for him if he doesn't turn it around.
That's true. That's crazy.
Crazy. Almost $1 million lost, guys.
All right. So my funny thing is that I did my first stand-up comedy show this past Thursday, and I thought I did okay. I gave myself a B+, maybe A-.
B plus, that's pretty good.
So my
B+, but so that's eight of us. Your parents are probably very upset.
That's true.
Not even close.
That's why
you're like B+. That's not even close to an A. You're two scores away.
I've always been a B+ student, though. It's okay.
Really? Is that true? Like you've always been a B+ student?
No, well, in high school, yeah, because I was taking a lot of AP classes. So B+, A-, I guess, you know. I was okay with
you're
that.
You're a disappointment
to
your family.
You know. No, but I got into the groove. So the funny part is that I got into the groove. I got people to laugh. I was like, oh, shit, this joke's actually hitting. Okay, cool. And then I forgot one punchline. I'm like, fuck. So I didn't realize I forgot a punchline until I got off the stage. Well, I was like,
you don't think about it.
Yeah, I didn't think about it, so I just went on to the next set joke. So I thought the transition was kind of rocky, but I didn't know why, right? So as I was still delivering stuff, I was thinking about it, like, why did that last bit didn't sound that well? But I'm still delivering the current bit right now in my head. So that kind of dragged on my energy level down a little bit towards my punchline at the end, my last joke. Mm-hmm. Even though I did okay, I didn't deliver the way I wanted to deliver my last joke the way I thought I would deliver because I was distracted by what did I do. So as soon as I get off stage, I was like, did I forget a punchline for one of the jokes? I got so mad, but at the same time, I was just cracking. I'm like, I guess so. Okay, well, whatever it is, what it is. So my biggest concern I get for that one was like, okay, I got to slow down. Hopefully they understand me, you know?
Yeah.
And so my teacher, Lisa, is like, wow, that's the slowest I've ever heard you. Oh, yes, mission accomplished.
Wait, was it the whole time or just after you messed up?
No, the whole time.
The whole time. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I listen back to these podcasts at 2x yeah. speed, and I sometimes can't understand what Mike's saying. Right, like I understand everybody else very smoothly. Everyone like normally at 2x speed, you can, it's fast, but you can understand. With Mike, you can't. Right, like you can't understand. He's at 4x speed at that time, so that is hard to hear. Yeah.
So you gotta slow it down, you know, play slow. You know, what's the arrow minus 1.5x? No, I
definitely... So when's your special coming out? When's your Netflix special coming
out? And we got a long way for that. I do want to do improv. I feel like doing improv will work that side of the brain out of me, that where I have to react, not think about stuff. Mm. So you mentioned earlier that you had to take time to process, analyze that.
Yeah.
With improv, you don't have time to do that shit.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like you. I have to take time to analyze stuff, but I want to make sure though I'm reacting and doing, but at the same time, I kind of know how to deliver. So, and I feel like with that in mind, knowing, okay, the energy level, I got to deliver, knowing that, okay, I got to come up with something funny. I feel like getting that situation will be challenging. Yeah. But I'm doing all this because I want to be able to control my level of energy. I want to be able to control the tempo. I've been watching a lot of good storyteller and they're so good at it. They're so efficient.
I feel like a good storyteller, their story is so tight. Every word they say has a meaning.
It's impactful. It's just impactful.
Like I haven't practiced. Well, that.
Think about this, right? In school, in high school, we didn't really learn this unless you took debate, right?
I don't think I had a debate.
Yeah. So my high school is known for the debate. I just never took it. I should have taken it at that time, you know. But at the same time, though, I just didn't know any better. I didn't think, I'm not gonna use the debate.
When am I gonna debate somebody?
Those debate nerds, you know? So my high school was selling debate candies all the time. I used to compete against them. I was like, my chocolate is 25 cents cheaper, guys.
Wait, so you actually went against the debate team.
Of course.
This is why at this point in time, you're like, oh man, I need to go take an improv class.
Yeah. Right? No, I do admire a lot of the comedians because the amount of time and effort is not shown on the screen. You only see the final product, the tweaks, right?
Yeah.
And even though like they may not be the best with their work, but man, the hours and effort that goes into that, you know. So I remember my first time, you know, to wrap this up though. My teacher said when I delivered my first bit, he's like, "That's not you. That's not your sound. That's not your personality. You need to write something better that is about you and to truly to tell yourself who you are, because only you can then deliver something that's truly a unique story. And then
authentic, right?
It's not only authentic. You don't have to memorize it. That's your story.
Yeah.
So it's easy to tell. It's a conversation.
Yeah.
So yeah, I felt like, and I think that was like the hardest challenge to do. Like who are you? Right. And I think that was a good exercise for sure. It was definitely different from work. I should look forward towards that because it's different from work.
It's different from work. Yeah. I mean, that's good. It's always good to have something extracurricular. Yeah. That's going to be.
Do it, Robert. You should do it. Do it virtually. You can do it virtually too, Robert.
Oh, you want me to do improv virtually?
Or a stand up. It's fine.
I mean, before I do, like if I'm going to do that, the goal is get onto Netflix and have a Netflix special.
That's fine. You're funny, man. You helped me write some bits, though. So I could be your co-writer now.
It's my ghostwriter, Mike Wong, over here.
Ghostwriter. Yeah. All right. Well, I think this has been a really great year for sure. For those who are listening, watching us on YouTube.
We appreciate all of you guys listening. I know it's a long podcast every week, but you know, like people are listening and we love it.
We're gonna break it down to bits next year, so for sure.
We're gonna try to add some better content and something that's easier to listen to.
Yeah. And don't forget, you know, to subscribe, like us and you know, leave some comments. If you're watching us on YouTube, just hit the like button and smash the subscribe button, please. Well, enjoy happy holidays, right? Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year, happy Christmas, Kwanzaa. Annika, everything.
That's right. Well, until next time, see you guys next year.
All right. Peace.
Have a good one.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Gluten-Free Organic Thoughts Podcast. As always, we appreciate you. If you are watching us on YouTube, please don't forget to subscribe to our channel, like this episode, and leave us a comment. If you are listening to us, please leave us your honest review on your preferred podcast listening platform. And as always, you can find us on social media at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at GFOT Thoughts. Drop a comment and give us some feedback. We would love to hear from you. Until next time, see you then.